Chapter 12. Kill Recorded. Whatever sentience controlled the demon ship, Ominator, its gleeful hunger for murder was so intense that it only belatedly became aware of the way the Armaduke and the Libertas had squeezed it into an untenable position. They had met its headlong rush at the Imperial position with calm resolve, intercepting its trajectory so that the Ominator was obliged to pass between them. Such was the Ominator's fever to engage. It was overpacing itself. It became apparent that it was not going to be able to break off or execute an evasion in time, certainly not without rendering itself more vulnerable. Any attempt to hard turn out of the tactical lock would have consumed vast amounts of its power reserve and depositioned it hopelessly in the battlesphere alignment. It continued to shriek its name. The shielding around its prow and flanks began to throb with a sub-photonic gleam, the colour of burst entrails. Mechanical organs along its spine had between the blades of its ribs began to throb as it gathered power for a main weapon strike. Advancing steadily, the Armaduke and the Libertas exchanged a brief, non-verbal signal and began to hose fire at the enemy ship. Two streams of bombardment ripped out from the Imperial pair, converging like the lines of some infernal diagram on the Ominator. The streams were traceries of pulsed and beamed energy weapons, the unified output of hundreds of batteries slave to the master-tracking cogitators. Heavy ordnance systems spat torrents of hard-shell munitions, missiles, ship-to-ship ballistic charges and bombard rockets. The Ominator soaked it up without breaking stride, taking the titanic barrage from the Libertas against its forward port shields and the destructive abuse of the slightly extended Armaduke across its starboard side and belly. The two ships maintained their relentless assault. The Ominator advanced in the face of their sustained fury, apparently oblivious, as if the onslaught was entirely futile. The fire rate was stupendous. Two gunners aboard the Libertas were killed by recoil, trying to service the hard batteries fast enough, and an artificer aboard the Armaduke was burned to death by an overheating laser assembly. From his command seat aboard the Armaduke, Spiker believed he had never seen a ship take such relentless punishment. The Ominator squealed its name and attempted to fire, but the hellish lightning failed to develop enough to whip out from the hull. It tried again, and then again. Two or three more stuttering attempts at ignition. Then its shields failed, and its hull tore open like a punctured membrane. Shielding energies billowed out into the void around it like ink in water, like ragged sailcloth carried along by a storm-borne ship, like a ruptured egg sac. Something catastrophic happened deep inside the demon ship's hull. There was a considerable, though muffled, explosion deep inside the ship about two-thirds of the way down its length. It was not a huge, satisfying sunburst of annihilation, but it blew out areas of deck plate and internal structure. Clouds of burning, toxic energy and atmosphere belched out. The mainframe shuddered. Then the Ominator went dead. All of its onboard light sources died, even the infernal red glow from its core. Its energy output signature ceased, apart from the shreds of radiation and flame coming from the damaged sections. Its drive failed, its plant failed, its reactors failed. It became, in a second or two, an inert, dead lump of black machine junk, scorched and holed. Carried by its own forwards momentum, it began to tumble, prow tipping up, drive section rotating under, debris littering out of it like a spiral vapour trail. The Imperial ships ceased fire. They waited, poised in case it was a ruse, in case the demon ship had decided to turn itself into a weapon and ram one of them. It was lifeless. Blundering on, spinning like a discarded piece of scrap, it passed between them, leaving a trickle of ejecta dispersing in its wake.
"Kill recorded," cried out the Master of Detection.
"For the Emperor," growled Spiker.
As the Armaduke and the Libertas shared their kill, the vast Sepiterna had turned its guns against the Necrostar Antiversal. The enemy ship had crossed the main Imperial gunline, soaking up fire from the escorts as it paced a long, fast burn of an attack run across the battleship's bows, a diagonal slash across the alignment of the battlesphere.
Gorehead, a raging little beast, had fired in support of its keening brethren, trying to stifle the gunline's output and disrupt any aim at the Necrostar. A cloud of small craft had formed forward of the Imperial line, a massive dogfight swirl like pollen spilling from a flowerhead. Fury flights, along with heavier support squadrons loosed by the Imperial ships, had ripped into the formations of arch-enemy killships. One especially sustained duel was being fought to keep the demon interceptors away from the Aquila, bearing the Lord Militant. Gorehead's primary weapons scored a decent hit against an Imperial destroyer called Phalanxor, enough to impair its void shields and rendered it ineffective for long enough to allow Necrostar Antiversal its passage. Necrostar Antiversal was spitting massive hull-cutter missiles at the Imperial flagship, and its primary energy batteries were cycling up to strike. Sepiterna, an almost stationary island more than 10 kilometres long, reached out to deny the obdurate intruder. Beam weapons, red sparks in the brown twilight of the void, found and neutralised the running missiles, igniting quick, bright flashes of white fire. Then the principal weapon fired and slapped the charging arch-enemy vessel sideways. Necrostar Antiversal spun away, all stability control lost. Its port bow section glowed with a fierce internal blaze, and atomised structural debris squirted from its lurching bulk. It stopped screaming its name and instead simply screamed. Demented with damage and pain, the Necrostar Antiversal fell away, righted itself, and then began to flee. The flight may have been caused by a drive malfunction or a loss of helm. It was frantic and headlong. The Necrostar's real space engines went to full burn, one of them clearly misfiring, and crippled to such an extent the ship was leaving a dirty trail of burning fuel and radioactive blowback behind it. It veered away like a comet and streaked towards the distant limits of the system like a scolded hound, beaten and driven away, yelping. Shipmaster Spiker was aware that his artificers were desperate to lower shields. Sustaining them at maximum was depleting the reserves at a nightmarish rate. With 50% of the enemy's strength dismissed, surely the fight was done. Any grasp of tactical logic could tell you that. Spiker knew from bitter experience that when it came to void fighting with the ruinous powers, tactical logic had little or no place. He had, for many years, as a more junior officer, studied the behavioural habits of large carnivores, particularly in such circumstances as hunting, protecting a kill or defending their family group or their young, as well as their actions when wounded or cornered. That, he had found, was most often how arch-enemy ships performed. They did not make calculated, strategic moves as though the battle sphere was a giant, three-dimensional regicide board. They did not observe the traditions and crafts of battlefleet tactics as learned and studied by the officers of the Imperial Navy. They fought like animals in traps, like wounded rogue beasts cornered in a canyon, like predators in the forest gloom. They ignored logic or technical comparatives, or the output of threat assessment cogitators. That, in the considered opinion of Clemensu Spica, an opinion not shared by the Departamento Tactici of the Imperial Fleet, an opinion that had probably hindered the progress of his career over the years, that was why the archenemy often won. Tormageddon Monstrum Rex, the behemoth capital ship of the enemy force, turned towards them. It had lost its appetite for a direct fight with the mighty Sepiterna and its resolved gunline, but it was evidently quite prepared to make a Parthian shot or two at the Armaduke and the Libertas, pushed forwards and vulnerable as they were. Spiker ordered a hard, evasive turn back towards the sun and watched on the strategium display to see that Libertas was doing the same. If they could at least place themselves decently
In the optimum reach of the main gunline, it might be enough to dissuade the monster from harrying them. But the Rex was fast. It was the single biggest vessel involved in the fleet action. Not as stately and deep through the waist as the majestic Sepeterna, but longer and of significantly greater tonnage. It accelerated, however, like a frigate. A light frigate. It was quite the nimblest supermassive Spiker had seen since the Paladron campaign against the diseased craft world. Its internal glow, coal red, flared as if bellows had been applied. It powered in, weapon banks developing charge for a shot. The Sepeterna spurred its whole gun line forwards, but it was a gesture that would have little practical effect in the time frame. The aggressor Libertus, a significant ship in its own right, began firing as it turned, loosing as much as it could at the oncoming monster. The demon ship's shields held firm. The Libertus's barrage, enough to strip a hive down to the mantle, spattered off the void shields like firecrackers. The Rex fired. The energy whiplash, so bright it was not any sort of colour at all, struck the Libertus in the small of the back, popped its shields like a soap bubble, shattered the hull jacket, and cored a hole down through the decks like someone cracking through decorative icing to slice open a layer cake. It was not one blast, one flash. The jerking, kinking coil of energy linked the two ships together like an electrical arc for almost 20 seconds. Its point of impact was brighter than a spot welding torch. The burning force sheared through the Libertus, cutting it in a line that ran along its spine towards its prow. The cruiser was almost bisected lengthways. When the awful weapon finally shut off, the Libertus broke up. Not cleanly in half like a nutshell, but into two large sections along a surgically straight line. Almost a third of the cruiser's tonnage sheared away along the port side from central environmental to the prow. Armour splintering like glass, internal contents, crew and debris voiding in a cloud like smoke. The sectioning was so precise that Spiker could see the crosscut through the decks through his viewer, like a cross-section display in one of the glass cases at the Admiralty. He saw fires burning inside, pressure compartments blowing, bulkheads shredding, atmosphere venting, hydraulics and other fluids billowing out in quicksilver blobs. He saw slicks of debris litter and realised they were masses of weightless corpses. A secondary blast blew out the Libertus's ruptured plasma drives, sending the larger of the two hull portions spinning nose over tail out of a bright yellow explosion. The spinning section clipped the other hull portion and sent it tumbling out to one side, regurgitating material into the void. The Rex brushed past its kill and closed on the Armaduke, dwarfing it. It was set to send the Imperial battle group home with at least 3 dead. Its main weapons gathered charge, cracking fury in the reservoirs beneath the skin of the hull. It closed tighter still, perhaps intending to riddle the Armaduke, to scrap with its small batteries rather than waste the main charge. Spiker felt its shadow on them. It overhauled them, blotting out the sun, a leviathan 10 or 12 times their size. Every sensor on the Armaduke's bridge screamed. Every alarm sounded. Spiker instructed his gun crews to unload everything they had. Tormageddon Monstrum Rex boomed its name into the darkness. But it did not stop. It passed so close by the Armaduke, the frigate shivered hard in its wake, and it kept accelerating, driving out along the unvariable and away, developing speed and translating into the warp. Gorehead, yapping at its heels, followed. By then, the Necrostar Antiversal had fled through the outsystem and away, wailing in blind pain. And the corpse of the Ominator was tumbling down into the fires of Tavis' sun.